So we are continuing our look at gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have been around for the last few weeks, or if you came to the day that we looked at gifts of the Holy Spirit, then you would have heard Ian Parkinson talk about spiritual gifts for all and giving us a good overview of what the spiritual gifts are. And then Pete a few weeks ago was talking about the why of spiritual gifts, why they matter, why they are important. Last week I was looking at a little bit of the practical stuff, looking at the how. And so this evening we are looking at the where. So this is a kind of, if you like, part two from last week. So I'm making a bit of an assumption that you've heard at least some of what's already been said. So if this doesn't make sense to you quite so much, then all of that material that I've just mentioned is online, so please do go and have a look at that. Now, last week, I made the very big mistake of saying that I wasn't going to talk for too long to try and give us some time to pray, and then I went online and looked at just how long I did talk for, which was no different to normal. So I'm not going to say that this week, but what I will say this week is that at the end, we will have time to pray, to try and put into action some of the things that I will be sharing. Now, I'm aware that some people find that a bit uncomfortable, but we want to make sure that what we're talking about from the front isn't just theory, isn't just dry and empty, that this is put into action, so that's why we do encourage prayer for each other. Tom Wright, you may have heard this before, but Tom Wright, when he describes the story of the Bible, he describes it as a five-act play. It begins with creation, fall, Israel, Christ, and the church. And what he suggests in this analogy is that the first four acts, we already know what's happened. So in effect, we have the script for the first four acts of creation, fall, Israel, and Christ. And of course, we can look at the Bible and we can see what's happened. But when it comes to the church, this fifth act, we are still kind of part of it. We're still, you know, it's kind of being worked out as we go along. And so what he describes is that, in a sense, the church is being improvised. So we improvise in light of what we already know from the first four acts. So the church doesn't just make it up as it goes along in that kind of random improvisation, but instead it's based on a deep understanding of the first four acts. So the church improvises out of the first four acts. And what I want to suggest this evening is that when it comes to using spiritual gifts, effectively what we are doing is we are improvising out of what we already know. We're improvising out of the past. And so we are shaped by the past, and so we need to deeply understand the past. We need to understand how spiritual gifts have been used in the church. We need to understand and know about what is described in the Bible about spiritual gifts. But what we do not do is live in the past. We're not stuck in the past. We're not trying to just emulate something that we've seen before. What we want to see happen is God breathing his Holy Spirit on us now and in a way that is appropriate for us today. So we need to know what the spiritual gifts are. We need to know how they have been used. But we need to ask the question, what does what we know in the past mean for us now? What does it mean for us today? And I think the journey that the Bible itself goes on is actually quite fascinating. The journey that the early church goes on is really fascinating. And what you see in the scriptures is this example of this improvisation, of this kind of going along with what God is doing and trying to catch up and trying to understand exactly what this means. So it begins with the not knowing of this incredible experience. So if you turn to Acts chapter 2, and verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verse It says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so what you have here, you have this sense of the suddenly, this out of the blue, of this unexpected. They're not quite sure what's going to happen. They're not quite sure even what all this means. So they have this great experience, but they're trying to work it out. In a sense, they're trying to improvise as they go along. And what we do know is that the disciples have already been told by Jesus to wait until you have been clothed with power from on high, but they're waiting, not knowing what's going to happen. And this is the experience of what has happened. And so they're trying to work out what all of this means. And so Peter, he stands up and he explains that what's going on is the fulfillment of a prophecy been told before, long ago, the prophecy of Joel. So you see this example of the church trying to improvise out of knowing their history, knowing what's gone on in the past. And so Peter quotes in, this is Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so Peter is using that history that they have to explain what's going on in the present of God breathing his spirit into their life, and this sudden great experience that they're having begins to make some sense because of what they know of their past. And as the church grows, as you read through the book of Acts, you see these amazing things. We read these amazing things that God does. And as the church is going along and having all these great experiences, the church is trying to catch up with what God is doing. God is always ahead of the church. The church is always trying to catch up, trying to understand exactly what all of this means. And so in the Bible, we hear of spiritual gifts being used. You hear of them in the letters that particularly Paul writes. And as he's writing these letters, you kind of get this idea that it's kind of just happening to the church, and the church is trying to work it out and trying to work out where it's appropriate to be used and how it's supposed to be used. And you see this journey particularly, I think, in 1 Corinthians. So within 1 Corinthians, you have the list of the gifts. So this is the experience that the church is having. Then you get a small explanation of just a couple of them. But what you haven't got when it comes to working out just how to use these spiritual gifts is a kind of a full systematic explanation of each of the spiritual gifts. There's not a kind of a full explanation of the how, the when, and the where to use all of these spiritual gifts. What the Bible does instead generally is it comments on what they have already experienced and tries to put some context and some explanation to that. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. We've looked at this over the last few weeks, but I think it's helpful to see this in the context of these other passages. So we begin with, well, this is your experience. This is the list of gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers by, to another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So this is your experience, church. This is what's going on, and let me give you an example of some of the things that are happening. And then we turn to the next chapter. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you get Paul saying, well, you've had all this experience of all these crazy goings on, but let's just stop and let's ground this a little bit to make sure that you're not getting ahead of yourself, that what's really important here is that love is at the center of how you use these spiritual gifts. So if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I have this incredible experience, if I can speak in the tongue of men and of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Quite often, if you've been to a wedding, you will have heard this read many times. Having done a few weddings now, I can tell you I've read this out quite a few times at different weddings, and quite often the context is missed for what this is talking about. The context of this passage is within the context of how spiritual gifts are to be used, and that love has to be the center of how they are used. And then if you turn forward one more chapter to chapter 14, you've had the list, you've had the grounding in love, then chapter 14 is in a sense, that fuller explanation of two of the gifts. So you've had the list of lots of gifts, but you're not getting a full explanation of all the gifts. You're getting a bit of detail about two of the gifts. So chapter 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Can you see how here what you get is a more of an explanation of what it means to speak in tongues, what its purpose is, and what it means to prophesy, and what its purpose is. And so the role of the church has been to improvise in light of its experience of what God is doing through the church. So God is giving us this gift. This is the experience of the church, and the church's response has always been to ask, how is this best used? And that's exactly what Paul is saying here to the church in Corinth. He's saying this is how it is best used. And what's incredible about this is that this is about how God works with us, works in us, and works through us. Do you not find that amazing, that the God of all the universe doesn't need to use the church, but he chooses to work in us and through us and with us? And so the where of the spiritual gifts is about improvising in light of the past. It's about asking that question for us today, what does it mean to improvise when we are open to God? To use what we already know from Scripture, what we already know from church history, to use common sense, to use good practice, but also to ask the question, well, how is God doing new things now? Not how did God just do new things 2,000 years ago in the early church, but how is God doing new things now, and how are we improvising now? Not just reading about how the church improvised back in those days. Now, I think there are also false assumptions when it comes to how widespread spiritual gifts are within the life of the church. Because a church that uses spiritual gifts quite a lot on a Sunday doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to translate to the whole life of the church. So let me give you an example. So my theological college, St. John's Nottingham, the president of that college was Mike Pilavachi. Mike Pilavachi, who leads Soul Survivor Ministries, and in that particular church, it's a very charismatic church, and it has lots of spiritual gifts that are used on a Sunday. Now, Mike and his kind of sidekick, should we call him that, Andy Croft, both came to my college, and I happened to have a conversation with Andy over lunch, because he happened to sit next to me. And what he said was, that I found fascinating, was the fact that he said, on a Sunday, people come and they expect loads of manifestations of the Holy Spirit to happen. But if you go to their small groups, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will experience the same thing. And so it's interesting that just because people see something when they gather together on a Sunday doesn't always translate into a smaller context where you haven't maybe got particular leaders there to guide it. But on the other side of that, just because you come on a Sunday and you're not experiencing some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in maybe quite the way that we would want to, doesn't mean that it's not being used in other contexts within the life of the church. So what we need to do is to look at the whole church in its broadest sense, not just what happens on a Sunday. And of course, the perfect example of that was here at St. Barnabas, which obviously I wasn't here, but where there used to be the second Wednesday meeting, where there was lots of use of gifts of the Holy Spirit. But then a Sunday looked quite different because it's quite a different kind of context. And obviously we've moved on from those days, and so what was appropriate then isn't necessarily appropriate for now. So you can have all that kind of driven desire, or you can have a very, if you like, kind of big, showy Sunday when it comes to gifts of the Spirit. You can have all that focus into one gathering. But as a church, we all need to open ourselves up to what God is doing if we ever want this kind of stuff to become normal. Not just wait and expect for it to happen in one place, but to ask ourselves, how can we be open to what God is doing in whatever context we find ourselves in? Now, I'd like to give you a living example of this, of what it means to be open to God. And Sarah is going to come and share a story.
All right. Oh, that's always so loud. Well, I was talking to Matt, was it a few months ago? I suppose, yeah, it was a few months ago, and I didn't really think twice about it, and he approached me to kind of tell the story. But when I came here, I think I was really not sure of what I thought about the gifts of the Spirit. Frankly, I went from 3 different denominations from the time I was 14, and when I was a student in, when I was a university student in, and then when I worked in, and it got progressively more conservative. And so, I mean, almost to the point where it was a cease of the spiritual gifts in certain aspects. So I think it's really interesting that Paul focuses in on things like tongues and prophecy, because those are the more miraculous things that I think we would have been quite hesitant to. And when I came here, it's very common in a lot of the churches. There's a lot of, and praise God, there's a lot of gifts of the Spirit and freedom in that. And I realized, though, through the course of a few Sundays, that everything that people had been saying, God gave me a vision, God told me this, God has said this over your life, these gifts of prophecy, those are all things God had done in my churches previously. It's things he had done in my small groups previously, but my language was different than yours. Well, and it's the same, but we're divided by a common language, I suppose. And so my language was quite different as to where someone may say, oh, God has shown me a picture. I would have said, oh, no, I feel like I saw a picture in my head, but I wouldn't attribute that to the Spirit of God. I would say maybe that was my imagination over someone's life, you know, which kind of looking back, it kind of robs God of that, doesn't it, in a few ways. But I also wanted me to share of a story that kind of put an exclamation point on my understanding and my acceptance of the spiritual gifts. And it was actually a couple months ago, I had a man come up to me and he said, I was at my house and I was praying, and I wasn't praying for you in particular. It was just the team of the people I work with. And he said, and I saw you. And he continued with this beautiful vision of what, like, he felt like God was showing him about my life. And I thought, ooh, I'm not sure about that. I don't think he has the authority to say that over my life. And how can he say that's God? Well, then over the course of the next week or two, there are four or five people that consistently came up to me and said, oh, I was worshiping and I saw this, or I was reading the word and you came to mind. And it was all consistent with that same vision that man had told me had popped up in his house. And I think what Matt was saying just about being outside of church and having an expectation to hear from God, like through the Spirit, about someone else's life for that gift of prophecy in specific, for in this case, is it's possible and it's really amazing, and we just have to be open and like excited for him to play a part in that aspect of our lives, because he wants to speak and he does want to use us.
I think another interesting side to this as well is the idea of where spiritual gifts are used in terms of whether we think about it within church contexts, i.e., you know, on a Sunday in our life group, if you're involved in a ministry or whatever it might be. But what about whether God wants us to use his spiritual gifts in, I guess, what you might call more secular terms, like workplaces, or when you're just speaking to your friends or whatever it might be? Because a few months ago, I had a conversation with Pete Hayward about just talking about his work. You may probably be aware that he is a doctor. And the conversation was on about what it means to be prophetic. And what we were talking about is what it means to be prophetic in his consultancy room when he has patients, where he has a very small amount of time with each patient. And there's a whole host of different options that you could have. And what it means to be open to God speaking to you in that context. Now, clearly, you can't use explicit Christian language or say, I feel that God is saying to me X, Y, Z, because of all the PC stuff we have going on. But what you can say is, in appropriate language, you know, just receive this encouragement. Or in, obviously, it's not just about being a doctor, but in whether it's in a shop or wherever it is that you might work or live your life. Just maybe not using the religious language, but being open to what God is saying and allowing God to use you in those different contexts. And sometimes we just have that sense of, I just need to be encouraging right now. And maybe that is God prompting us to say something into that particular situation. So what does it mean for you to use spiritual gifts, not just in the kind of religious places, if you like? What does it mean to use spiritual gifts, not just prophecy, but all spiritual gifts, in whatever context you might find yourself in? And clearly, different spiritual gifts need or are best used in different contexts. Some spiritual gifts are more appropriately used in smaller contexts. I've mentioned it a few times, but I would really like to see the use of more use of spiritual gifts within our life groups, within that small context. And the reason is because I think in a small context where you have trusted people around you who you meet with regularly, that's a much safer place to learn this kind of stuff, rather than maybe exposing yourself on a Sunday where, you know, in a bigger gathering, it's quite scary. But I think the other side of this is quite often we can wait for people to start using this almost as if this isn't the right place to use it. There's that assumed culture of we don't use spiritual gifts here, thanks very much. But I wonder what it means to be open to God, to maybe he's prompting you, say, well, you know, I look around and I don't see people praying for somebody else in quite the way that I would like that to happen. Well, what does it mean to be that person who does that, who tries to change that culture within whatever context you might be in? And when we gather as a church, when we gather together as a large body, we generally only witness a couple of the spiritual gifts. If you look at the list that I talked about last week, if you look even just at the list from 1 Corinthians that I read earlier on, there are loads and loads of different ways that can be used, not just within the context of a church. And so I think all of this stuff is about asking God, well, what are you saying to me? What are you doing through me? How are you prompting me to be open to what you are doing and open to being used by you? And so we're not completely ignoring all that we know of in church history or in scripture. We're using that as that foundation, that springboard to be used by him. Because I think if you look at the history of the church and you look at where we are at right now, I think what you will see is that there are some spiritual gifts that are used within the life of the modern church which you wouldn't see in the Bible. So what I'm thinking about particularly, as an example, is contemporary worship leading. You don't have that in the Bible in a kind of explicit sense. You have people who lead, like, particularly in the Old Testament, people who lead worship, but it's not quite in the same way that we have now. And it seems to me that this is one example of God doing new things in new forms and new ways through the life of the church, because the church over the last 20 or 30 years has been open to new and different ways of leading God's people in worship. Because we all know that there's far more to lead in worship than just singing some songs. So are we open to those new possibilities, those new ways of asking God, well, where do you want me to use this? Because we want, as a church, to see more of God at work within the life of a church as we gather together as a large community, but also as we gather within our smaller communities, or if we're involved in whatever ministry it might be within the life of the church, but also open to how God wants to use us in our everyday life. Stop waiting for something to happen to say, God, use me in every single context that you find me in. Because we do not want to ever put God in a box. We don't ever want to assume certain things of God, or to say that God's only going to work in this way, in this place, in this time. We are open to what God is doing. And so what I want us to do is, I'm going to put up the same list as last week on the screen, and as if by magic, it will appear in a second. And in a kind of part two, if you like, of the prayer from last week, I want to continue that attitude of prayer. And so last week, what I asked us to do was to look through the list and to pick one of those things which were maybe not our, what we would call one of our spiritual gifts, and to pray for it and to ask God to open us open, to help us grow in one of those particular things. But I want, in a sense, to take that a step further. So either we can continue to pray for the thing that we were praying for last week, if you were here, or, I guess you can say or, stroke, and, because you can do both of these things, is to ask God, well, where do you want me to use this particular gift that you are giving me or showing me? Does that make sense? So to pray that God will help you to grow in a particular spiritual gift, one of those on the list, or maybe it's something else altogether. And then ask God to show you where he wants to help you to use that particular gift. And maybe it's none of those on the screen, maybe it's something else, but let's be open to what God wants to do through us. So I'm going to pray now, and then we can pray for each other. So Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your grace upon us, that we would be open to you, open to what you are doing through us and in us. We thank you how we can look in Scripture, we can see the history and through the church of how you have used your church, your people. And so we ask that you too would use us, that we wouldn't just be a people who read about it, but we too would be open to what you're doing through us. And so would you help us too to improvise in light of what we know of you. Help us to be open to how you might use us today. And so as we pray for each other, would you pour out your Spirit, we pray. Amen.